The following recording was made on the morning of June 20th as the women's group continued in the book True Worshippers, Chapter 3, True Worshippers Exalt. You will hear two brief testimonies related to this chapter, first from Renee Beamer and second from Amber Parrott.
Good morning. So, you know how God meets us where we are? And it's really astounding to think about. Holy God, no one like Him, holy, chooses to encounter fallen man. I hope that never grows old to us. It's totally unique. All the religions of the world, based on the teaching of demons, man is trying to, in a feverish way, ascend to God, the God of the making of whatever the demon is teaching. But we have a holy God who seeks to encounter fallen man. And so I did not set this up. I was already a believer. I was just in my kitchen where I would meet with God on the regular. It was a homeschooling season for me. And in the mornings, it was all about the quiet and mama at her desk with the word and encountering God through His word and praying and just getting ready for the day. I really don't know what the circumstances were of this particular day. It was the only time where I encountered God and He identified Himself by His name. It was just totally unique. I don't know what led up to this moment, but I was on my knees weeping with this overwhelming sense that God is in this place with me, in my home, weeping on my knees. And I hear Him say, I am. I was just overcome by the reality of who He is. And all I could do was just respond with my tears, with my posture, because you know, when you're on your knees, it's a humble posture. There was no other place for me to be. And worship is clothed in humility. And all I could say is, how can I not trust You? And I said that again and again through weeping. And no, that encounter did not perfect my trust in God, but He revealed Himself to me, and He's worthy of my trust. And that is increasingly growing and will continue until I take my last breath on this side of eternity. But the presence of God is just this privilege we have in Christ. You all understand that. I really think it's the essence of who God is in relationship to man. Unto Himself He is holy. Unto man He is holy, but He wants to encounter us, and His presence is all throughout the Scriptures for us to understand. We have His presence by the Holy Spirit as believers. And then the collective, Paul says, you're being built up. You together are being built up to become a dwelling place in which God lives by His Holy Spirit. So to encounter God's presence is our normal. I need Him every day. But that was just a particular time of Him revealing Himself by name. And I thank God for that. But I need Him today. I need Him today. I need His presence today. Thank you.
How cool is it that we serve a God who's not just worthy of our worship, but He also teaches us how to worship Him? I think that's so precious, Renee, that the Lord revealed Himself in that moment, and that you were able to worship out of what you received from Him, like we talked about last week. I want to talk about what happens when you don't have that revelation, when where your worship is misplaced. We were in chapter 3, and I was looking at some of the words, and the line from page 50, worship in the wrong direction is called idolatry, leapt from the page. I learned that lesson the hard way. Unfortunately, when I read this chapter, the Lord had already brought me through that journey, and I can rejoice in how I learned that and how He's freed me of worshiping in the wrong direction. But, you know, Bob continues, he says, it's looking to anything other than God for our ultimate satisfaction, comfort, security, or joy. I would add to that looking to anything other than God for our identity, for our strength, to see things moving in our lives, to find a sense of worth. Looking to anything other than God for these things is misplacing our worship. It's idolatry. And so I did that. I found myself in college, being a goofy college girl, as many of us do. And I had a great community of people. However, in that community, I had some mentors that I held here instead of here. I had some ideas of how I thought I wanted the world to see me, how I wanted the world to see my future marriage, to see my testimony that I held here instead of here. And I saw myself here instead of here. I saw myself as responsible for things that only God can be responsible for. And it was in that place that I was seeking comfort, joy, peace, strength, and identity from mentors, prospects of marriage, and myself, that I was worshiping with my lips, with my time, with my mindset, these idols. In that place, I sought the Lord without realizing that I had these idols. I had a special friendship with a guy that I wanted to know, Lord, where is this going? What's the situation here? And so I sat down and I sat at the end of my bed and I was like, okay, God, what's going on? In the midst of that moment, again, I didn't realize that I had idols that I was holding to the same level of the Lord. And so when I asked the Lord a question, I wasn't listening for an answer that pleased Him. I was listening for an answer that pleased my idols. And so what I heard was not the voice of God. It was the answer that pleased my idols. We are a big James 1 church, and I love that. I love that there is a huge emphasis on the wisdom of the Lord. And in James chapter 1, in verse 5, it says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives you generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But verse 6 is where it gets a little intense, and I love it because, again, this was very much my journey. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. And so in that place of asking the Lord about my future and asking that question and hearing instead of the Lord's voice, the Lord's journey for my life, I became like a ship tossed. I doubted that the Lord could guide me. I doubted that the Lord had a good story for me. And so as a result, I went back and forth. Did the Lord say yes? Did the Lord say I should continue in this relationship? Did the Lord say that I should continue in the job I was in? It wasn't just the relationship. There were so many aspects of my life that I was shaping to please my idols, the way I dressed, the way I spent my time, the way my concerns were morphed. And I thought that it was up to me to make my own pathway, and I had no sense of the Lord's voice and no sense of where His face was and where His leading was. Obviously, it didn't work. The thing about idols is they are not God. They cannot provide what they promise they can provide. They cannot provide what we think they can provide. This guy and I weren't a good fit to begin with, but that all fell apart in a very hilarious and messy way. The mentors that I had lifted up, it became very clear that they had clay feet just like the rest of us. Even the best mentor is not the Lord Himself. Even the best spiritual leader cannot be lifted up to the level of the Lord. And I think of Peter and Cornelius in the New Testament, when Cornelius becomes the first Gentile convert and he wants to bow at the feet of Peter. Peter, you know, is his voice and his mentor. And Peter says, don't bow to me. It's not about me. It's about the Lord. And we have to recognize that we can't put our mentors or ourselves or anybody else to the level that the Lord is. So all of this kind of fell apart, and I was left in this place of tossing. And it was in that place that the Lord really taught me to humble myself, taught me to say, okay, I have no idea what else to do. But I do know that the Lord is here and that all of these other things have proven themselves to not be as strong, as mighty, as loving, as providing as the Lord is. Idols don't deliver what they promise, and the reality is, if we want to become true worshipers, if we want to worship in spirit and in truth, we have to dethrone those idols, because it is a lie to suggest that those idols can provide what we're expecting them to provide. How do we do that? We have to take that moment. We have to humble ourselves. It was through obedience that I finally came to this place of having clarity of that moment. Lord, I thought you said this was the path I was supposed to go on. This was the guy I was going to end up with. This was the epic story that everybody was going to applaud me for. It was not his story for me. And it wasn't until I was willing to lay that down and humble myself and say, I receive your story for me, that I was able to come to a place of healing, of peace, and of true worship. So I invite you guys today to spend some time, and if it's okay with Bonnie, I'd like to do a little exercise to that effect. Spend some time exalting the Lord. Bob, I loved that he touched on in the book that, you know, every good gift comes from God. There are things in our lives that we don't attribute as coming from God, and we should. All good things come from him, and we need to recognize that, yes, you may have worked hard for that job, or you may have had a role in partnering with that, but you would not have whatever it is that is good in your life without a good father.
Amen.
So exercise time, because we love a practical exercise. A few months ago, we got to do this in the young adult group, and it's just taking a moment to exalt the Lord and speak out praise. I'll lead and I'll pray out a prayer of exalting and gratitude. And then I want you guys to pray and think of things that you want to thank him for. It could be something that is a part of his character. God, thank you for being my provider. It could be something that's specific to you. Lord, thank you that you picked up my kid after he fell. Like, thank you that you are speaking to my brother's heart. Thank you that you provided this job or this car for me. Either way, the good things that we see in this life are of him, and he deserves to be exalted for it, and nobody else does. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again that you are a God who deserves to be worshiped, and that you are a God who teaches us to worship. Lord, I praise you for this community that you have knitted together. I praise you for these women and for your huge heart for them, for your path for them, for your the way that you see every detail of their lives, and that you are leading them towards you.